Today is the 8th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, grateful to be here with you today as we bring another week to its conclusion. And as we often do, let's look back. What a week. Big week for me. Getting back. We look back because we restart at the beginning of a week and it's like a reset and shiny and sparkly and none of our choices have been made yet and none of our words have been spoken yet. And so we set an intentionality about how we're going to live. And we get to the end of the week and we can kind of look back and see how that worked out. Places that we, you know, that we were victorious. Places that we found challenge but overcame, and places that maybe have work to do. But that is the process and the act of watching ourselves, being self-aware, and beginning to see the impact of what we choose to do, as opposed to just living reactionary. Just reacting to everything, or being plenty observant of what everybody else should be doing, but never paying attention to what we are doing. So here we are at the end of a week. How did we do? I basically get to the end of these weeks and think I have some work to do still. And that's what it is. Work. And then there are also places that I'm like, yeah, that is starting to become that is getting ingrained in my heart and in my brain. Like, this is how I am. This is how I act. And this is how we experience and see transformation. It's not like some magic mantra, couple snaps of the finger, couple stomps of the feet, couple of spins around. It's work. And so how did the work go for you this week? Because we get to start over again tomorrow. But that is then, and this is now, and I am grateful to be here right now with you today to take the next step forward in our journey through the book of Ezekiel at this point. Today, we'll read chapters 18 and 19. The Lord spoke to me and said, "What is this proverb people keep repeating in the land of Israel? The parents ate the sour grapes, but the children got the sour taste. Surely as I am the living God, says the sovereign Lord, you will not repeat this proverb in Israel anymore. The life of every person belongs to me, the life of the parent as well as that of the child. The person who sins is the one who will die. Suppose there is a truly good man, righteous and honest. He doesn't worship the idols of the Israelites or eat the sacrifices offered at forbidden shrines. He doesn't seduce another man's wife or have intercourse with a woman during her period. He doesn't cheat or rob anyone. He returns what a borrower gives him as security. He feeds the hungry and gives clothing to the naked. He doesn't lend money for profit. He refuses to do evil and gives an honest decision in any dispute. Such a man obeys my commands and carefully keeps my laws. He is righteous and he will live, says the sovereign Lord. Then suppose this man has a son who robs and kills, who does any of these things that the father never did. He eats sacrifices offered at forbidden shrines and seduces other men's wives. He cheats the poor. He robs. He keeps what a borrower gives him as security. He goes to pagan shrines, worships disgusting idols, and lends money for profit. Will he live? No, he will not. He has done all these disgusting things, and so he will die. He will be to blame for his own death. Now, suppose this second man has a son. He sees all the sins his father practiced, but does not follow his example. He doesn't worship the idols of the Israelites or eat the sacrifices offered at forbidden shrines. He doesn't seduce another man's wife or oppress anyone or rob anyone. He returns what a borrower gives him as security. He feeds the hungry and gives clothing to the naked. He refuses to do evil and doesn't lend money for profit. He keeps my laws and obeys my commands. He will not die because of his father's sins, but he will certainly live. His father, on the other hand, cheated and robbed, and always did evil to everyone, and so he died because of the sins he himself had committed. But you ask, why shouldn't the son suffer because of his father's sins? The answer is that the son did what was right and good. He kept my laws and followed them carefully, and so he will certainly live. It is the one who sins who will die. A son is not to suffer because of his father's sins, nor a father because of the sins of his son. Good people will be rewarded for doing good, and evil people will suffer for the evil they do. If someone evil stops sinning and keeps my laws, if he does what is right and good, he will not die. He will certainly live. All his sins will be forgiven and he will live because he did what is right. Do you think I enjoy seeing evil people die? Asks the Sovereign Lord. No, I would rather see them repent and live. But if a righteous person stops doing good and starts doing all the evil, disgusting things that evil people do, will he go on living? No. None of the good he did will be remembered. He will die because of his unfaithfulness and his sins. But, you say, what the Lord does isn't right. Listen to me, you Israelites. Do you think my way of doing things isn't right? It is your way that isn't right. When a righteous person stops doing good and starts doing evil and then dies, he dies because of the evil he has done. When someone evil stops sinning and does what is right and good, he saves his life. He realizes what he is doing and stops sinning. So he will certainly not die, but go on living. And you Israelites say, what the Lord does isn't right? You think my way isn't right, do you? It is your way that isn't right. Now I, the Sovereign Lord, am telling you Israelites that I will judge each of you by what you have done. Turn away from all the evil you are doing. And don't let your sin destroy you. Give up all the evil you have been doing and get yourselves new minds and hearts. Why do you Israelites want to die? I do not want anyone to die, says the Sovereign Lord. Turn away from your sins and live. The Lord told me to sing this song of sorrow for two princes of Israel. What a lioness your mother was. She raised her cubs among the fierce male lions. She raised a cub and taught him to hunt. He learned to eat people. The nations heard about him and trapped him in a pit. With hooks they dragged him off to Egypt. She waited until she saw all hope was gone. Then she raised another of her cubs and he grew into a fierce lion. When he was full grown, he prowled with the other lions. He too learned to hunt and eat people. He wrecked forts. He ruined towns. The people of the land were terrified every time he roared. The nations gathered to fight him. People came from everywhere. They spread their hunting nets and caught him in their trap. They put him in a cage and took him to the king of Babylonia. They kept him under guard so that his roar would never be heard again on the hills of Israel. Your mother was like a grapevine planted near a stream. Because there was plenty of water, the vine was covered with leaves and fruit. Its branches were strong and grew to be royal scepters. The vine grew tall enough to reach the clouds. Everyone saw how leafy and tall it was. But angry hands pulled it up by the roots and threw it to the ground. The east wind dried up its fruit. Its branches were broken off. They dried up and were burned. Now it is planted in the desert, in a dry and waterless land. The stem of the vine caught fire. Fire burned up its branches and fruits. The branches will never again be strong, will never be royal scepters. This is a song of sorrow. It has been sung again and again. Hebrews 9, 1 through 10. The first covenant had rules for worship and a place made for worship as well. A tent was put up, the outer one, which was called the holy place. In it were the lampstand and the table with the bread offered to God. Behind the second curtain was the tent called the most holy place. In it were the gold altar for the burning of incense and the covenant box, all covered with gold and containing the gold jar with the manna in it, Aaron's stick that had sprouted leaves, and the two stone tablets with the commandments written on them. Above the box were the winged creatures representing God's presence, with their wings spread over the place where sins were forgiven. But now is not the time to explain everything in detail. This is how those things have been arranged. The priests go into the outer tent every day to perform their duties, but only the high priest goes into the inner tent, and he does so only once a year. He takes with him blood, which he offers to God on behalf of himself and for the sins which the people have committed without knowing they were sinning. The Holy Spirit clearly teaches from all these arrangements that the way into the most holy place has not yet been opened as long as the outer tent still stands. This is a symbol which points to the present time. It means that the offerings and animal sacrifices presented to God cannot make the worshiper's heart perfect, since they have to do only with food, drink, and various purification ceremonies. These are all outward rules which apply only until the time when God will establish the new order. Psalm 106, 32 through 48. At the springs of Meribah, the people made the Lord angry, and Moses was in trouble on their account. They made him so bitter that he spoke without stopping to think. They did not kill the heathen as the Lord had commanded them to do, but they intermarried with them and adopted their pagan ways. God's people worshipped idols, and this caused their destruction. They offered their own sons and daughters as sacrifices to the idols of Canaan. They killed those innocent children, and the land was defiled by those murders. They made themselves impure by their actions and were unfaithful to God. So the Lord was angry with his people. He was disgusted with them. He abandoned them to the power of the heathen, and their enemies ruled over them. They were oppressed by their enemies and were in complete subjection to them. Many times the Lord rescued his people, but they chose to rebel against him and sank deeper into sin. Yet the Lord heard them when they cried out, and he took notice of their distress. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and because of his great love he relented. He made all their oppressors feel sorry for them. Save us, O Lord our God, and bring us back from among the nations, so that we may be thankful and praise your holy name. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise him now and forever. Let everyone say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 27:10. Do not forget your friends or your father's friends. If you are in trouble, don't ask a relative for help. A nearby neighbor can help you more than relatives who are far away. Father, we thank you for your word. Another week gone by. Thank you for bringing us back safely. Thank you deeply for bringing us so far into the year now. It's like moments before everything really begins to speed up. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to bring peace to our hearts and minds and souls as we continue to navigate toward the ending of the year. And that you would help us to continue to start anew each week and reflect and be self-aware and observant in the choices that we make and the roads that they lead to, as the scriptures so clearly show and reveal and teach us. We love you. Where would we be? Who would we be? Would we even be without your guidance and patience and compassion on us? And so thank you. We worship you. We love you. We adore you. We invite you. In the name of Jesus, we ask you. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. I just wanted to call in today and just say thank you to the Lord. Listening today as we hear the news of the children in Haiti being able to escape and get to safety, and the miracle that the Lord, you have done for these children and these workers and these, all the people involved, Lord. You're a miracle. It's a miracle. You're awesome, Lord. You're powerful. You're mighty. You can do great things. You do great things. You are there in the midst of the storm. You are there in the midst of darkness. Even though we may feel fear in the midst of darkness, you are still there. And you rescue us, Lord. And I'm so grateful for these young children, and I believe and pray for their futures, that they, as they grow up, Lord, they will know you more and more and more every day of their lives. And that their lives, you have a plan for each one of their hearts, one of their lives. And I thank you so much for this, Lord. And I pray you continue to pour out your protection and your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. Just listening today and the young man calling in regarding his concerns about medical bills. You were saying on one hand you received the glorious, beautiful news that your wife is with child, and that's just such a beautiful, wonderful announcement. And then to have that spurned a little bit by the announcement that you now owe these medical bills. And we just want to lift that up to you, Lord, and we want to ask you, Father, just to intervene in this situation and just fill this young man with your peace, Father God. Father, you can provide in ways that we don't even see coming. And I just pray that you would give him the peace that passes all understanding, that you would help him, Lord, to trust in you for all of this, Lord. I pray that you would provide a way, Lord, provide a way where there is no way, that you would just have, whether it's a sudden windfall or it's just a new learning way of managing finances, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray for your peace in this family. I pray for this child that is growing inside of his or her mother's womb. I pray, Lord, and ask you to just bless this child and this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is God's tree. For I have many branches, but I'm rooted in the Word of God. I want to pray for those who are suffering with depression right now in this moment. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you would come to those who are suffering with depression right now. Father God, you know our hearts and you know what's troubling us. You know what's in our spirits and in our lives that's attacking us, Father God. And we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you let your sun shine in our lives, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, Father God. So let it shine in our lives, God, that we be able to see, God, that we can get through whatever it is that's troubling us, God. Every dark moment, every lonely moment, every painful moment, Father God, that you are carrying us through. Father God, let us be able to feel your loving arms wrapped around us, God, and that we're never alone, and that we feel at peace and comfort, Father God. Let your loving angels settle around us, Father God, and let us just feel it. Lord, let us speak that we are not overwhelmed. Let us speak to our hearts that we are not defeated. Let us speak to our hearts that we are not losing battle, but that we are victorious, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, for the ability to be able to come before you and ask you for your help. And for those, God, that are hurting so much that they can't even pray, I thank you, Father, for putting it in my heart to pray for them, Father God. Just intercede for them, Holy Spirit. Have your way in them, Father God, and deliver us so that we can give you honor, praise, and glory. I thank you, Father, for the deliverance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Shalom, shalom, Deb family. This is God's Completed Jew, and it is November 5th, and I just heard a prayer request from Jasmine from Jersey. So shalom, Jasmine from Jersey. You just touched my heart, and I just can relate to that feeling that, you know, somehow you or I or we somehow we become less in our high priest's eyes. But I just want to encourage you that I know what you went through was soul-wrenching and horrible. But you are defined by who you are in Christ and not this world that we live in, because we know this is temporary. And our treasures are gathered in our Lord's heaven. So we love you. We want you to know that we are here for you. When you say you are weak, our high priest says that you are strong. When you say that you are not beautiful, he says you are wonderfully and perfectly made. So we love you, Jasmine, and please just keep Christ in the forefront of your life and your mind and your heart and your soul.